Now, yeah. Interesting Gemara. You know, we try to pick from the parshas interesting Gemaras, right, Rabbi Yaakov?
Yeah.
You turn to, first we're going to look at the, then we're going to get to the Gemara, which we have, the parasha of the week, right? Abraham is told by God on page 40. Abraham is told by God on page 40. Pasuk Tezvav. Lech lecha. Lech lecha. Va'atan you, Abraham, tovei el avasecho b'sholem. You will come and join your forefathers b'sholem in peace. You'll be buried in a good old age.
You say this to Abraham?
God is speaking to Abraham. Page 40, plus again. You, Abraham, you will come to your fathers, b'shalom, in peace. In peace. You will be buried in a good old age. Now God tells him, b'shalom. B'shalom, in peace. So the Gemara in Bracha 64a has a fascinating comment on this verse, and we'll get to it soon.
It looks like Olam Haba.
You will join your ancestors b'shalom in peace. The God says b'shalom, and he doesn't say l'shalom. Is there a difference? Bracha 64a, Bracha 64, Shem Aleichem. 64a, Lech b'shalom, not l'shalom. Here the Gemara says, brings our pasuk on 64a2. The Gemara brings our pasuk on 64a2, a fourth teaching from Avin. See that? Omer Rav Avin Halevi, 64a2. A fourth teaching from Rav Avin. Hanifta mechavero, one who parts from his friend, al yomalo lech b'shalom. You shouldn't say lech b'shalom. You hear?
What should you say?
A minute. When you say goodbye to your friend, don't say lech b'shalom. What does lech b'shalom mean? Go in peace? Go with peace? Ela lech l'shalom. But go to peace.
You should say what?
Say lech l'shalom.
Lech l'shalom.
When you part from your friend, you're not supposed to say lech b'shalom.
Why?
We'll see.
But everybody does say b'shalom.
But you're not supposed to. That's why we're here today. When you part from your friend, you're not supposed to say lech b'shalom. Go in peace. See, it's not with peace. Lech b'shalom means go in peace. In. Do you mind opening the window if you're hot? Ela lech l'shalom. Go to peace. Why is that? Look at footnote 20. See that a prime or you don't?
Yeah,
what's the difference?
Yeah.
What's the difference? See footnote 20, see Meiri?
Yeah.
The word shalom, translated peace, actually connotes much more than peace. Shleimut. The word shalom is the same root as the word. You have a book? No? Shleimut. You have a book? No? Shleimut. It refers in the context of teaching to the spiritual completion that one attains during the time he spends in this world. Mm-hmm. While one is alive, he possesses the ability to reach greater, higher, and higher. And he therefore considers constantly going to his peace, since every action he takes at every moment of his life contributes to his ultimate peace. You're putting it away in the bank. One who has died, however, is no longer able to affect any change in his spiritual station. He has already attained all he ever will. He is therefore considered to be in peace, since it is already with him in its final form. Oy, oy, oy. Thus, one who says to a living person, go in peace, is cursing him.
What if you just say shalom?
Shalom is good, but if you don't...
No idea.
If you say b'shalom to a living person, why is he cursing him? Mm-hmm. By addressing him as if he were already dead.
It's good to know.
It's a good thing.
So it's like me walking up to you saying, may you rest in peace.
May you rest in peace. May you rest in peace. That's right. May you rest in peace.
That's right. May you rest in peace. Say the same thing.
That's right.
It's good to know. See the Arabs.
Yeah. Rest in peace.
Shalom. Shalom.
Right. You have a book?
Arafat's on Yamach Shalom. Let's Shalom, guys.
So let's move on with the Gemara here. How does the Gemara know this? How does the Gemara know there's a difference?
Number?
18, what is it, 2-star?
Sanhedrin. No, Brachas. Brachas, 2 stars. Brachas, 2 stars. The very last page.
Two of them. 64A2.
How does the Gemara know the difference, Ephraim? How do we know?
But it means Ella, lech.
Ella, but only say lech l'shalom. To a living person, you don't say, because when you say lech v'shalom, like Rabbi Yaakov said, it means go rest in peace. You say to a living person, go rest in peace? You're parsing him.
It depends if you like him or not.
Lech b'shalom means go rest in peace.
It's good to know.
It's a curse.
Right, so if you're in front of liberal groups,
Right, you tell Hillary Clinton.
Hillary Clinton just died yesterday.
Who's? Hillary.
92.
Hi.
Okay. Elo lech l'shalom. But go to peace. Go to peace. And the Gemara proves that it's so. Look at the Gemara. Shai Yisroi Amalei LeMoshe Lech L'Shalom. Yisroi told Moshe Lech L'Shalom. He told Moshe, go to peace.
Mm-hmm.
Upon leaving Midian to return to Egypt, what did Yisroi say to him? Lech L'Shalom. Olav Hetzliach. He rose and became successful, the leader of the Jewish people. David, on the other hand, told his son Avshalom, Lech B'Shalom.
That was a curse?
That was a curse. He didn't realize it. Go rest in peace.
David didn't realize he was cursing him?
No. And what happened to him? He got hung.
Hold it.
Well, read the text. David Shalom Avshalom, Lech B'Shalom.
Not because he said that, though, did he?
David said to Avshalom, go rest in peace.
On purpose he was cursing him?
I don't know. On purpose. Right before his revolt against King David, Halach V'Nitla. Halach v'nitla, he went, and what happened to him? He was hanged. Footnote 23, you see that? Avshalom met his end when the mule he rode into battle passed beneath a tree, and his long hair became entangled in the branches. The mule continued on, and Avshalom was left hanging by his hair. Easy prey for the spears of King David's general. So, Ben Yehuda asked Avram Berkowitz his kasha. Why would David curse his most beloved son?
Yeah.
Well, read.
He didn't know. He probably didn't know.
Well, David didn't know.
David didn't know.
So read the brackets. No, Ben Yehuda. No, that's your
question.
He's
gonna die in peace.
Ben Yehuda. No.
64:82.
Yeah, footnote 23. Ben Yehuda. The brackets.
Absalom made his.
The brackets.
Why King David would have said this?
What? Ben Yehuda wonders what?
Why King David would have said this to his beloved son?
You asked the question. No.
Didn't he know that these words constitute a curse? He explains that King David, in fact, intended to say, go to peace, l'shalom.
But
that God, in light of Absalom's evil intentions, made the words emerge as b'shalom.
Rest in peace.
So that Absalom would be
I wonder.
But God changed his words. Ooh.
I bet he noticed that, too. He's a very...
David wanted to say, go to peace. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that Avshalom's evil intention to plot the rebellion against his own father made the words come out as with peace. So that Shalom would be cursed, because which son rebels against his father?
Why,
Yad of Shalom, you know the Yad of Sicha, Yad of Shalom down here by the foot of the mountain here.
Uh-huh.
Used to have a Yad on it.
You look
in the book of Samuel. He built a monument to himself, but it's not there. So Napoleon blew it off. They said any son that raises a hand against his father should have the hand blown off. You read the history books.
Really?
So he told his artillery men to blow off the Yad. Now there's only like a broken cone. Yad Avshalom at the foot of this mountain.
That was built
by Avshalom 3,000 years ago.
3,000 years?
Can you believe that?
Well, you know,
that's from his day. So what happened to the Yad? There was a Yad until 1806 when Napoleon was here, and he told his artillery men, any father to Yassal! Salam Aleikum! Salam Aleikum, thank you. Shalom, thank you.
What?
Arba. Abba, Toda, Shalom. Thank you.
Why did his son have long hair?
He was a Nazir.
He was
a Nazir. He was no slouch either.
Yeah.
Great people make. He was a Nazir.
But how can you go against your father?
How could you? Well, he rebelled against his own father. Anyway, so therefore, if he helped me, okay.
He must have thought David wasn't doing a good enough job. He's getting old or something.
Well, that's what he said. Now, here we get to our Gemara. A fifth teaching from Rav Ovin. You have it or you don't? A fifth teaching from... That's our Chumash. Hanifter min ha-meis, one who departs from a dead guy. Look at note 24. When a coffin would be brought from one place to another for burial, it's customary for the people of the city which it was taken to accompany as far as the next city, whose residents would relieve them. Yeah. Before each group would return home, they would beg leave of the dead guy with the words, "Go in peace," or "Rest in peace." Go rest in peace.
There's another one right here.
Oh. Go rest in peace. So, but the Elalech Veshalim.
It's definitely looking up out there.
Why? Look at note 25. For by saying to the dead guy, go to peace, one implies that he has not yet attained his peace. Mm. But he must first undergo trials and tribulations,
oh,
such as Le'elenu Gehenim, or Gilgul Neshama.
Oh,
so therefore, don't say to him what? Don't say to the dead guy, Lech L'Shalom, because that's causing him tzar, implying that he didn't complete his task and he has to come back. But what do you say to him? Lech B'Shalom. Who taught us that? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Joe Siegel, the Parsha of the Week.
So we say
God tells Abraham, Tavei al Masecha B'Shalom. You have attained your peace. You don't have to come back no more. Welcome back. Won't you come back no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more. You hear this? So God's teeth. Don't tell a dead guy, Lech L'Shalom, because you are causing him tzar. You're telling him that he didn't complete his task. He has to come back as a Gilgal.
Yeah.
Very painful
this
for
him. This is good to know if you're the UN, Israel's representative of the United Nations.
Lech L'Shalom. Rest in peace.
Don't think,
Yeah, right.
Lech L'Shalom.
This is our Gemara over here. Our Gemara,
All right. Definitely look it up.
Very interesting. Very interesting, right, Yasala?
Yes.
Yasala. Amen. Amen. Oh. Interesting Gemara. Very interesting Gemara. So now we learned something very important. Very important. A living person, you don't say, go rest in peace. So
that you have to say to our enemies, though, right?
To your enemies.
No, that means you say drop dead.
No, you don't have to be diplomatic. No. Saudi Arabia, Lech L'Shalom.
Oh, they're offering $1 million to kidnap the Israeli soldier.
Who's Saudi Arabia? There. And I tell to that sheik, Lech L'Shalom.
Right, Lech L'Shalom.
$1 million.
Right, our peace partner. No, he's America's close ally.
These are the moderate ones.
These are the moderate
Muslims.
No, but we're
not the honest ones.
I was reading.
These are the honest Muslims.
I read this morning. I didn't see that.
Yeah, it's in there.
Jimmy Carter. Lech B'Shalom.
That's right. So this is one word in the Torah, one letter, Joe Siegel. We have a whole shiur. Mm-hmm. How God tells Abraham, when you die, you're going to go B'Shalom and not L'Shalom. Since we're on the topic, Rav Ovin Bahalevi, these teachings have nothing to do with each other, but once you mention a superstar's name, you what? He's on a roll, because he's pitching. So Rav Malevi, you know, the teachings are not connected, but Zecher Tzadik Levracha. When you mention a Tzadik's name, what do? Joe? You go for it. Mm-hmm. So we have another teaching, interesting, very interesting, on 64:8-2 on the left side, a second teaching from Rav Ovin the Levite. See, Rav Ovin Halevi, a second teaching, Mai Dechsiv. Mm-hmm. What is the meaning of the psalm that we say almost every morning? Yan Hashem B'Yoin Tzara. We say it every morning, don't we? Between Hashem Volatzion. Psalm 20. What is King David saying? Yan Hashem Biyom Tzara.
Left side?
Yeah, second teaching from Rav Ovin. Yan Hashem Biyom Tzara. May Hashem answer you on the day of distress. May the name of the God of Yaakov strengthen you. What does that mean? Look at note 15. Lamatzeach states that this was the prayer King David would recite for the Yidden when they would go out to what? To battle. The IDF would go to battle, the king would say this psalm.
Yeah.
May Hashem answer you in the day of distress. Mm-hmm. May the name of God protect you or strengthen you. Mm-hmm. So what's the kasha of the Gemara, Joel Siegel? It calls him the God of Yaakov. Wait a minute. What about Avraham Yitzchak? What, chop liver? Chas v'shalom. You hear the kasha, but you say it every day. L'matzeach mizmor l'David. And do we think?
No.
Why does King David just mention Elohei Yaakov? What about Avraham Yitzchak? They're also superstars.
No.
Joe, hell.
What about Noah? The only person.
Noah is not our father. But he's not our father. Yeah, you're right. But he's not our father.
What do you mean?
He's the father of mankind, not of the Yidden.
Mm-hmm.
So why not mention Elohei Yaakov, Elohei Avraham, Elohei Yitzchak? He's also the God of Avraham Yitzchak.
Yeah.
So when King David would beg God on behalf of the IDF, he would do so not in the merit of Avraham Yitzchak, but only Joe Siegel in the merit of what?
Yaakov.
Help me, Yaakov. Why?
Because why?
Stay tuned. Mikan. Lebal HaKoyrev Shikonis Bav Yishol Koyrev. From here we learn that when several men are carrying a beam, mm-hmm. Joe, a beam, a heavy plank,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
The owner of the beam must insert himself under the thick part of the beam.
Mm-hmm.
For since the beam is his, he must bear the heaviest load.
Mm-hmm.
Likewise with Yaakov, since it was he who sired and raised all the tribes of Israel, mm-hmm. not Avraham Yitzchak,
yeah.
Who raised the 12 tribes? Who?
Yeah, well,
Yaakov. They are his. It is therefore his responsibility to pray for mercy for the Yidden. Because he actually, the beam is his. Because who's the one that sired and raised the 12 tribes? Who?
It's Yaakov.
Yaakov. So therefore, the heaviest responsibility to daven for us is what? On him.
No.
They're grandfathers. He's the father. Don't you see? A father is closer than a grandfather.
So
no?
Why
yes?
Why don't we do no? In the Shmoneh at the beginning? Only say Yaakov instead of Avraham Yitzchak.
Because there we are inviting protection.
Mm-hmm.
So protection 3 is better than 1. How do you say protection in English?
Protection?
Protection. This is not...
Connections.
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 We want to state our connections. Why should God listen to us? Who are you? Have an appointment? We state our connections. 3 connections better than 1.
Well, protection. What I said before about a convert. He's only connected really to Avraham.
Yeah.
He goes in the merit of Avraham.
Okay. But he still says all 3.
Right.
Why?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? He still says all 3.
That's what I said about...
The Vavadi, you got to go into JTS library. My friend is in charge of the rare book room. Joe, I went there.
Who's your friend?
Jerry Schwartzbach. There's a letter that Ravadia Hager wrote to the... You can see the letter and the Rambam's response. It's incredible. Ravadia Hager wrote a letter to the Rambam.
Where did he live, Ravadia Hager?
Ravadia Hager, where did he live? Where did he live? I think it was Baghdad. Writing a letter before email, Joe Siegel?
Mm-hmm.
Before SMS?
Is it Arabic or Hebrew?
Hebrew. He writes that he's a ger and they won't let him daven for the Amid. Because they say, how could you say Lekai Avraham, Lekai Yitzchak, Lekai Yaakov? This is Avadia Ger writing to the Rambam.
Rambam, Maimonides, right?
You hear this? They won't let him daven for the Umid. Because they say, how could you say, you're okay, Avram, you can say. You can't say Yitzchak for Yaakov. They won't let him daven for the Umid. He feels bad. The Rambam writes back, those fools, those sinners, tipshim and shoytim, what he writes.
No, I wouldn't say that.
God love, you got to read the letter.
That's pretty strong.
He says, those sinners,
that
God loves you more than he loves a born yid, and he writes with such words of necham and consolation and love to Zavadia Ger. You are better than they are, because God appreciates a ger, or God loves a ger more than he loves a born Jew, etc. And don't take it to heart. And this anguish that you have, even though it's a sin for them, is a great schus for you. Don't answer back, says the great Rambam. You got to see the letter. It's there.
Why don't you just tell him go to another minion?
In those days, that was
what we did. Whatever they're doing in one place, they're probably doing something different in another place anyway.
Okay.
It's not like today where you got 16 jewels in one.
You got to see that letter. You got tears in your eyes. You see that. You could read the Rambam's holy handwriting. He writes with such love and compassion. He feels the pain of Avad Yager. That he's a screen. How he discriminates. He says, don't wait. They have 36 Averos, he says. They transgressed 36 Averos for giving you anguish.
When Rambam was Nifter when?
1204.
Wow.
This is, I think, 1169. 1169. They have the letter in the rare book room in the JTS. Incredible.
Wow. And your friend's in charge of it?
No, he's in charge of the rare book room, yeah.
So if we call him up, we can get in there?
You need protection.
What else is in that rare book room?
In the rare book room, you have the first Rashi printed. Wow. The first Balaturim printed.
Wow.
It's 1400.
Is there any difference now than that?
The first Balaturim and the first Rashi printed.
So that,
the printing
that
press was invented in the 1400s.
Like that, right?
1414.
This so they were printing it right after?
No, 1465.
It waited 20 years?
They couldn't get a permit. The printing press was invented in 1414.
1414?
Yeah. Right. And the Yidden couldn't print until 1460s. They wouldn't let him near a printing press.
40 years.
So the first two Hebrew books ever printed, Joe Siegel, trivia question, Rashi and Balaturim. The Turim on Shulchan Aruch.
And Rashi and Chumash?
Rashi and Chumash and the Balaturim. The Turim, the Arba Turim.
On the Shulchan Aruch.
Right. Based on that. That's the first, and they have it. They have it there. Worth priceless. It's priceless.
What else they got there?
They got the litter. They got Rashi's Ksav Yad.
I mean his handwriting, right?
Rashi's Ksav Yad.
His own hand.
You will not kind of believe
Ksav Yad means what? His own handwriting?
Right. Of Devarim 28. Now it's not in this Rashi, but if you take a look at some Chumashim out there in Deuteronomy 28. One of the klolos nebuch the hismakartem, you will sell yourself into slavery. Rashi says, "Ivetzich alein farkoifen."
Oh, he wrote it. Rashi wrote it in Yiddish.
Mm-hmm. Now here it's not here, but if you look at,
can you translate?
Do you know the
Yiddish is that old?
The Yiddish is at least from 1000s. Do you know what I'm talking about? You can read Yiddish. It's Deutsch. Yeah. You gotta see this. Finally, you gotta see this. It's just incredible. They have it. Pasuk Samach Ches, page 501, the second line from the top. This makartem, you will sell yourself into slavery. This is Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28, verse 68. This makartem, you will sell yourself into slavery. Look at the top Rashi on 501.
Top Rashi 501.
This makartem, you see that? Ephraim, yeah? This makartem. Rashi gives the old French. You see that? Balaz. Then he writes in parentheses. No, read Ephraim.
Ifur undar.
Un irvet zich allein verkaufen.
Right here.
In irvet zich allein verkaufen. You see that?
This letter I cannot read.
That's Yiddish. What do you can't read? It's Yiddish. It's Deutsch.
No, but this
is in Rashi script.
So you want to. In irvet zich allein verkaufen.
Ear,
and you, vet zich align farkoif. This is the manuscript in writing before Rashi in 1040. Yiddish is at least from 1040.
So how come that's not in these books?
They took it out because who reads Yiddish?
What was he saying?
Why did they take it out?
What's he saying?
You will sell yourself into slavery.
Into slavery.
So one Hebrew word needs how many Yiddish words? This makartem. In ihr vet sich allein verkaufen. One Hebrew word needs how many Yiddish words? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 Yiddish words are needed to translate the Hebrew.
One Hebrew word.
This makartem. That's number one of the clothes. You will sell yourself into slavery.
Yeah. Why don't the other books have this?
Because who reads Yiddish today? So they took it out. But you see, Rashi spoke Yiddish and wrote it. And this is a manuscript of Rashi. Isn't that incredible? In Evetzich Alain Farkoifen, this Makartem, Pretty amazing. Okay. So back now in the Gemara over here. A third teaching from Avin ben Levi. You have it? On 64a2. Mm-hmm. A third teaching. Omer Rav Avin ben Levi. Kol hanene mesuda shal talmid chacham shor v'tocho. Anyone who benefits from a meal in which a Torah scholar is included in the meal, kilu nene meziv hashchina. You hear this?
Wow.
It's as if he benefits from divine presence.
Wow.
You see that? Again, kol hanene mesuda. Whoever benefits from a meal at which a Torah scholar is present in the gathering, kilu nene meziv hashchina, as if he benefits from the radiance of divine presence. Why is that? Look at footnote 17. Footnote 17 of Yaakov. Tell me why. No, you got it. You got it.
This is because the words of Torah that will surely be spoken at a meal that includes a Torah scholar who hears words of Torah is indeed benefiting from the radiance of the divine presence.
One who hears words of Torah is indeed what?
Benefiting from the radiance of the divine presence, as the Mishnah in the Bos teaches.
If the three have eaten
from the same table and they have spoken words of Torah, it is as if they had eaten from the table of the omnipresent.
Wow.
Good,
so what's he saying here? Marshall explains, because of the words of Torah spoken by the scholar at the meal, right? So therefore, one who hears words of Torah is indeed benefiting from the radiance of the Shekhinah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Three have eaten from the same table and they have spoken words of Torah. It is as if they have eaten from the table of God. The Mishnah said that, right?
Is this why you say Zimun if there's three people?
But that doesn't help the Torah. You have to speak divrei Torah.
I heard, though.
Three have eaten at the same table, and they have spoken words of Torah. It's as if they have eaten from what?
The same
from the table of God, yes?
Yeah.
So I read that if you didn't speak Torah, that if you did...
benching, b'dieved, like that's flying economy.
Right.
You'd rather, that's flying cargo. Okay, you get there. You get there, David, but you get there in cargo, right? You don't come to my class anymore, David. I use deodorant.
You get there in, get there in cargo,
but not...
If you do what?
You b'dieved, if you bench, you don't say Torah,
but
you bench. That's b'dieved, you know, because benching is quoting Torah. But that's like flying cargo.
Cargo. Not even
you
economy.
You get there.
Not even economy.
Yeah, you want to fly first class, you say a Torah, right? We're doing brachos. How important it is to invite the Torah scholar to your meal.
Two stars.
Brachos, two stars.
Right in front of you.
Right in front of you.
No, but that's one star, but we have two stars over there.
It's still, there's also another one there.
Okay. Give that man a star.
If you want, here. Take the
star. Give that man a star. Remember the Texaco, the man from...
Texaco.
What happened to him?
And they used to give out those trucks and stuff like that? Boy trucks?
They used to give out...
I used to have their tanker,
variant
ship with a motor that worked.
Yeah, the man with a star.
Yeah.
They were dressed, you know, such nice...
Yeah, and the
64
I had others, their gas truck.
Yeah.
Gas truck, yeah, they used to have gas truck.
And a big boat.
It was a tanker. So what happened to Texaco? They're kaput.
No, they're still around.
They're still around?
What they're...
But they don't
is that one of the companies that buys from Saudi Arabia or not?
Anyway, let's learn. O'Connell.
Texaco is still in Texas.
Yeah, it is, David. Call on Nana. We're on 64A2, a third teaching.
Texaco, was it Texaco?
Vomera Oven Alevi. Call on Nana. Mesudam Shatam Chokhom Shari Vitocha. Anyone who benefits from a meal of which a Torah scholar is included in the gathering is Kilu Nana Meziv Ashkina, as if he benefits from God's presence. How do we know that? Shenema, the Torah says in Exodus, Vayovoy Aaron V'chol Zikne Yisrael. Lechol lechem im choten Moshe v'nei olakim. Remember Yisrael came to visit? It says Aaron and all the elders came and eat bread with the father of Moses before God. So the question is, v'chil v'nei olakim achul? What do you mean they ate before God? They had a meal. What do you mean they eating before God? But what if they Moshe achul? But they were eating, but was it not eating before Moshe that they ate? You hear the question? Eloi Melacha, but this comes to teach you on top of A2. Are you with me or give me?
Yep.
This comes to teach you. Kol anene misuda shatalmud chacham sharetocha. Anyone who benefits from a meal at which a Torah scholar is included in the meal, kilu nene meziv hashchina. It's as if what? He benefits from the radiance of divine presence. Thus, in sharing a meal with Moshe, it was indeed as if what? They ate before Hashem. Okay? Interesting Gemara. Alright? Very interesting Gemara. Very interesting Gemara. Very interesting Gemara. And this incredible Gemara over here. Mm-hmm. You turn the page, it's just incredible. Anyway, third teaching. A teaching of the benefit. A teaching regarding the bottom of A2. You with me? Right side, David. A teaching regarding a benefit that accrues to one who joins Torah study to prayer. Therefore, it's important to daven. We say Kaddish Rabbanon if we can, we have a minyan. To daven where you learn. Omer Levi Bar Chia, Hayotze Beis HaKnesses, one who leaves the shul. Venechvas Beis HaMidrash. Top of A3, and immediately enters the yeshiva to study. Zoichem Ekavul Pnei Shechina. He will merit to greet the face of God. Yehida Shenema Yelchu Mechayel Al Choyel Yeroe El Elohim Betzion. There's a pasuk where in Psalms, go from strength to strength. You hear? Go from strength to strength, from multiple to multiple, appear before the God in Zion.
And even you just do it for like 3 minutes or something, 2 minutes?
Especially Sardi. They have right. A little, at the end of the deal, they have a little.
I told you the Chofetz Chaim said. The Gemara says in Shabbos 127 that Talmud Torah keneged kulam. That studying Torah is equal in importance to all the other mitzvahs. Shabbos 127a. Says the Chofetz Chaim, you might think it's a whole tractate, it's a whole book. He says there's a mitzvah of dibar to bum, that every word of Torah that you speak or hear is keneged kulam, not the whole tractate. The dibar to bum. What's a dibar to bum mean?
Well, speaking it.
Every word of Torah that you hear or speak is keneged kulam, not the whole tractate, even every word. Every word of Torah that you hear or speak is keneged kulam. Make my day. Equal and important to all the other mitzvahs. That answers your question? Chofetz Chaim. Okay.
No, but the best way to do it is right after Maariv or something like that. Say like read a pasuk of Pirkei Avos or something.
What? By Mitzarev, you know. That's why we try to say Kaddish after combine, right? You say Kaddish right after learning. That's why you say Kaddish right after learning, no? If you have a minyan. We used to have a minyan. Petering out. Yeah, important. That's you say Kaddish to Rabban on the same place where you learn. So we help them invite you. We help them do. Right, Joe. So here, what is he over here? Look at this. Look at note 28. What does it say here? Note 28.
For one who
without slackening
devotes his every act and moment to the service of God. Certainly merit to attain spiritual greatness.
Marshaw, what do you mean greeting good the face of God? What does that mean? Marshaw defines, no?
Reading the face of the divine presence.
Reading the face of the divine presence, what does that mean?
As a fulfillment of the commandment to appear before God in the courtyard of the holy temple on the first day of a festival.
Yeah.
One is careful to always perform his devotions with a multitude by praying with
by dabbing with a minion.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Studying with a group.
Ooh, you hear? The Marshaw is an unbelievable Marshaw. If you just came to hear this, Joe Siegel. It's a tremendous chiddush over here. Why it's important to daven with a minyan and to learn with as many people as you can.
Yeah, that's the question.
So. Not to learn on your own. Of course, in Brei Ra, you can learn on your own, but it's much better to learn what? With a big group. Not with a bigger group. Mm-hmm. The more the merrier. Why? Says the Marshal. Listen to this. There's a mitzvah to appear in the multitudes in the courtyard before Hashem. Mm. Right? Mm-hmm. It's amazing, Marshaw here. On every yontif, there's a mitzvah to appear with a lot of yidden in the Beis Hamikdash. Says the Marshaw, one who is careful to daven with people, with a minion, or more the merrier, or learn with a minion, he will merit to do this mitzvah, to see God's presence in the Beis Hamikdash. It's an extension of the mitzvah. Because when you're learning, what are you doing? You've seen God's presence.
Yeah.
Right?
But even to daven.
Yeah, go ahead.
With a minion as opposed to davening Yechid.
Yeah. Much better daven with a minion. Much better daven with a minion.
Shechina,
right? Mm-hmm. Much better. That's what he's saying over here.
Not your minion, even if it's just a group of strangers.
No, any minion is much better. Any minion is much better than davening what?
Alone.
Alone. Where do you learn out that you need a minion? Maybe you need 19 or 11. What's the source?
Abraham.
10 wicked Meraglim.
Yeah, why?
Meraglim, yes, it's Kasha. The source in the Oral Torah that you need 10 for a minion is from the 10 wicked Meraglim.
People that people made a mistake.
How many wicked Meraglim?
There's 12.
Yeah, but the two guys were good.
The Torah called,
they were chief rabbis of Israel. They weren't Tinnik Shin Israel. The Torah calls them Eda Hora. Eda Hora. So we see the wicked congregation, that 10 are called the congregation. So what's the question? Why do you have to go fishing to 10 wicked people to learn that you need 10 for a minion? So what does Maral say to prove that the 10 yidden together, even if they're rishoyim, but they're together davening, the shechina is there. If 10 yidden are in a room davening, even though they're wicked, like the Meraglim, the shechina is still there. Who loves you, baby? I can't stop loving you. They're wicked, but they're 10 together davening, the shechina is there. So therefore, the source is Dafke Rishoyim. Yidim around me, Prague, make my day, Joe. How much God loves a Yid? Even Rishoyim, but if they're 10 together davening, the Shechina is there. If you have 9 Vilna Gons in a room, can you daven? You have 9 Moshe Rabbeinus in a room. Joe Siegel, can you say Baruch Hu?
No.
But you have 10 Yidim that are Rishoyim, you can say Baruch Hu. And Nagdishach and Kaddish, 9 Moshe Rabbeinus in a room. Can you say Kaddish? Can you? Mm-hmm. But 10 Yidden that are Rishoyim in a room? It's mind-boggling how much God loves Yidden when they're together. How much God loves Yidden when they're together. 9 Moshe Rabbeinus won't do it. But 10 Yidden that are Rishoyim will do it. David, it's unbelievable.
What's a Jewish Russian?
Look at the Meraglim.
The Torah calls them Rishoyim.
Look at the Torah. The Torah calls them.
Oh, come on.
Oh, the Torah. The Tater.
Wrong.
Lutfak say Tater. Let's see what the Torah calls them. Pasha Shlach.
Really
poison?
No.
Pasha Shlach,
hang on.
Can you study something else with Rabbi Weber today?
Ad Mosheile. Eda Hara Hazeh. How long will I tolerate this wicked congregation?
Say that again.
Ad Matai La Eda Hara Hazot. Ad Matai. How long will I tolerate this Eda Hara, this wicked congregation? Says Rashi Elo Amaraglin. Mikan le minyan shi asara. From there you learn out that a minyan is 10. Mm-hmm. Because Yeshua and Kolev are the good guys. They're not raw. God calls the wicked minyan. Eda hara. That's not Kolev and Yeshua. They're the good guys. Mikan says Rashi le eda minyan shi asara meraglim. So, and they get the shechina. Mm-hmm. And 9 Vilna Gons and the 9 Rav Kivegas, 9 Moshe Rabbeinus won't do it, David. It's mind-boggling. Mm-hmm. Okay? Eda Hara, the wicked congregation. Okay, next. So we helped him do it. Next, fasting seatbelts over here.
Then what was the answer? Why do we learn out from...
I told you.
Ten
that if there are 10 Yidden together, even there is Shoyim, the Shechina is there.
Yeah. And where does it say this?
Well, that's the pasuk. That's the morale's explanation of the pasuk, right? Why that's the source? Why is that the source? Why do you have to go fishing? Why can't you pick 10 Vilna Gons to learn a minyan? You have to not to learn from Eda Hara, from a wicked minyan.
And the reason why is because even if they're wicked,
the 10 yidden together davening, the Shechina is there.
Come to the minyan.
Counted is there.
And today, how would you define, what's the definition of wicked today, a wicked Jew today?
I don't know. But anyway, Omer Achia Bar Ashi Omer Rav.
They're a wicked Jew.
What? There are no wicked Jews today. They're all tinnik shenishba. Chazon Ish already said in 1951, I think. They have a din like a tinnik shenishba, he says. Chazon Ish, malam itzchus
on yidin. What does that mean?
A tinnik shenishba, they don't know no better. They're brainwashed by Israel TV.
By
the kibbutzniks, but it's not
Marxism.
That
cool.
Why are they wicked now, though?
That's what he said. Chazon Ish, 1951, he said it.
The Chazon Ish said it?
The Chazon Ish said it. They have a din like a tinnik shenishba. Omer achia bar ashi omer rav. You have to be lamed zchus on yidin. That's the lamed zchus on yidin, right? Levi Yitzchak bar Ditchiv. What made him so great? The lamed zchus on yidin. Right? God wants to hear only good things about yidin.
Jewish communists, they're into social justice.
Yet God wants us to. God wants us to what?
Judge favor.
Make excuses for yidin.
Right.
The Melamed Zchus on Yidden.
But wicked Goyim, Lech B'Shalom, right?
That's right. Talk about a Jewish communist. A Jewish communist in the old days, you know what they were.
Nah.
True story, Rav Soloveitchik tells us about his grandfather. Need a better source than that. Rav Chaim Halevi. Chaim Halevi in the early 1900s, very early 1900s. A Jewish communist was arrested Erev Yom Kippur. A Jewish communist in 1903, it's a bison, you know, a Jewish communist, arrested by the Tsar's police. Now, the Tsar's police were notoriously corrupt. If you gave them enough money, mm-hmm. they would what?
Release them.
Otherwise, they'd send them to Siberia and forget it. Mm-hmm. Chaim Halevi, Erev Yom Kippur, found out that this Yiddish communist who was a Fabissin, how do you say Fabissin?
Dafkidik
against the religion. Called Midray Night, he goes to Chaim Halevi. Rav Soloveitchik tells this about his Zeda. Gives a clap on the bima. Yom Kippur night. We're not saying Kol Nidrei. I want everybody to go home, bring me as much money and jewelry as you have. This Yom Kippur night. And put it here on the bima. And if you don't do it, we're not going to say Kol Nidrei. Pandemonium breaks out. Who do they want to redeem? Who do they want to redeem? A tzaddik. This is this anti-religious Russia Marusha. And Chaim Halevi said, we're not saying Kol Nidrei. Everybody go home and bring me as much jewelry, as money as you can, and put it right here in the bima. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Pandemonium breaks out. They go home and they bring him the money. Rav Chaim Halevi, the great tzaddik, takes it together in a bundle on Yom Kippur. There's no Erev, it's Muktzah. He carries it to the police station, gives it to the cop, and they get this yid out. So people say, Rebbe! Rebbe! Why are you mekel on Yom Kippur, Rebbe? Smart ass, I think they know. He says, I'm not a mekel on Yom Kippur. I'm a machbir, bekuach nefesh doiche kol haTorah kula. A yid is a yid. No matter what he does, he is a yid. And God's love is unconditional. Am I going to be less? You hear? Chaim Halevi? And he was a kanoyer of Chaim Halevi. He came to Pidyon Shvuyin on Yom Kippur. He himself brought the money, carried it to the desk sergeant, and only then did they go back and daven. Rav Soloveitchik tells us about his Zayda. Need a better proof than that? Yeah, David? Mm-hmm. A Yid is always a Yid, no matter what he does. Okay, now we halten over here. Omer Achia bar Arash Yom Arav. Talmidei Chachamim ain't lahem minucha. You hear this? Lo ba'odon zeh lo ba'bo. You think when a person dies, it's all over, right? It says Torah scholars have no rest. Mm-hmm. Neither in this world, nor in what? How could that be? What do you mean? Look at note 29.
Note 29?
No.
For in both Israel and the next, they go from academy to academy and from scriptural exposition to scriptural exposition, constantly growing ever greater in Torah.
How could that be? They're dead.
Kedushi HaGra says that although it is well known that upon one's death one has no further opportunity to attain spiritual growth, there do exist some individuals who are at so sublime a level that their greatness continues to increase even in the world to come. Wow.
Ooh.
Our Gemara speaks of these individuals.
Joe, it ain't over till it's over.
No.
Looks like it ain't.
Maybe not even then.
It looks like it ain't over till it's over.
No.
Who said that? It says here, the guy from us. Shenema yelchu mechayil al choyil. You go from strength to strength, moving on up, onwards and upwards. Who said that? The reference is to the multitude studying Torah in the academies in the world to come. In the Yasper Shiva Shalmala, even there a Torah scholar climbs higher and higher from one level of Torah to the next, his spiritual stature ever increasing. He knows no rest in this space odyssey. Joe, 2001, A Space Odyssey. A tzaddik keeps moving on up. Just like God is Ein Sof, Olam Haba is Ein Sof. God is called the Ein Sof in Kabbalah. Mm-hmm. Just like God is endless, mm-hmm. Olam Haba is endless. Mm-hmm. Don't you see? Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. Moving onwards and upwards. How does the tractate end, David? Beautiful ending. We say it every morning, no? Omer Elazar Chanina. Talmid HaChachamim Marvin Shalom Ba'olam. Torah scholars increase peace in the world.
Increase peace in the world.
Why they do that?
Yeah.
Look at note 30, Avram. Note 30,
note 30, i.e., between Israel and their Father in Heaven. Maharsha explains that this refers to the reception of various blessings and prayers instituted in the main by the rabbis, the Torah scholars, designed to promote peace between God and His people, and consequently between God and all the world. He states further that this is a most fitting
end to the tractate. Why?
It deals primarily
with prayers and blessings. Alternatively, the Torah scholars bring peace to what?
People, through their learning.
By settling what?
Monetary disputes, disputes between husbands and wives, and Talmudic disputes.
Oh. The rabbi is supposed to be the peacemakers, right? Like Aaron. Wasn't Aaron a peacemaker?
Yeah. Meanwhile, the cover of this month's Mishpacha has got a picture of these rabbis. They can't take it anymore. It's too much pressure.
What do you mean?
I guess all the duties and everything.
What, they burn out?
Yeah, they burn something, yeah. I just saw the cover.
Mishpacha, you have it?
No, I didn't buy it.
Where's it for sale?
The newsstands you buy it.
There are so many rabbis. But
burn down? What do you mean, burn out?
I guess it builds all these problems or something. I don't know what. I didn't read the article.
Go to the home for burned out rabbis?
Something.
You should have started a new program, a new organization.
Rehabilitation.
Association of Burned Out Rabbis.
They're all sitting
there going, they deal with all these problems, I guess. I can understand it. Every day, it's like, oh, my.
Right.
I mean, that's when people are going to them, hey, guess what? I have a lot of money. Kid's doing great. Wife loves me. And everything's terrific.
Right.
I want to give you $2 here.
Never
have
it.
Right.
I see Rav Mecha responsible for the issue. He's running all around all the time. There's something Shiva, there's this and that.
Yeah, I'm sure always something's going wrong.
So. Mishpacha magazine, yeah?
Yeah, Mishpacha. Yeah.
Wait, I'd like to buy. Where's it available?
Well, it's usually people get it. Yes, I could try to. Belina, do you want me to try?
Can you think, how much is it? I want to give you. Can you buy it to me, please?
No,
I want to just find you.
No, I'll try to get it from. I know people have.
No, get it from me. I want to read that article.
I know. I Davin next to the editor. Maybe he's got an extra.
How much is it?
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know.
So you buy it for me, please.
Save your money. Let me see if I can.
Can you write a note and buy it for me?
I'll try back issue. You want to see back?
No, I just want to see this one.
Oh, this one.
Burned out rabbis.
Burned out rabbis.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll see Belina.
Can you write it down? Thank you. Sure you don't want the money?
Yeah. Save your money. I can get recycling.
I want to read that.
You don't need to read that one. People give them away all the time. They get them and they read them.
I want to see the symptoms.
Oh, you know what you can do? This could be an opportunity for you. In next month's edition, put out Attention Burnout Rabbis. You have the answers. Berlina.
That's a great idea.
Money back guarantee.
That's right.
This could be a big business opportunity.
Right. Spirulina for burned out rabbis.
Yeah, special. OU, extra. OU won't be good enough.
You get an
80 Haredi extra. You
got to
get an 80 Haredi extra on it. Rabbi Rubin.
So Aaron, please try it on. Get it for me tomorrow.
Tomorrow, I think.
No,
but I'll try it. Burned out rabbis.
Yeah. Please try it for tomorrow.
Call your son.
Oh, you need it right away? You can't wait like a month?
No, I can't wait.
Because people get it.
No, I want to pay for it. I don't want a favor. I want to pay for it.
Burn out rabbis, mishpacha.
So whatever it is, please, I want to pay for it, okay? Can I give you the money now?
Give it to me in spirulina.
No, seriously.
Oh, there you go.
you don't want to wait a month until...
No.
You need to read it right away.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Ask your favor. Buy it for me tomorrow. You start.
All right, I'll try to believe.
All right, thank you. Okay.
Yellow ribbon.
Tie a yellow ribbon, man.
Yeah, come in.
Okay, the Rabbi Haltman. David, you with me here? All your children will be disciples of Hashem. Do not be your children, but your builders. But your builders, you see? Thus the verse refers to Torah scholars who, because they generate peace, they are builders of mankind. Huh? Wow. The builders. Look at note 32. You see that, David? You want to read note 32?
Yeah, note 32 says that this is derived from the repetition of the word
Banayich.
Banayich.
Your sons.
For the verse could have been written in this manner, and all your sons will be disciples of Hashem, and abundant will be their peace. This seemingly superfluous Banayich is therefore expounded as
your builders. Nefesh HaChaim explains.
Nefesh HaChaim explains the term builders of the world by noting that each act of Torah or mitzvos, one strengthens and brings order to the spiritual dimension of the world and consequently to its physical dimension as well. Thus, those occupied with the study of Torah are actually building the world.
We are the world.
There at length, and Tanis, for further instances of Torah scholars being described
as builders.
Builders of the world.
All right, so anyway, let's move on here. There are four tractates, listen to this. There are four tractates in the Talmud that end with this teaching. Do you know that? There are four tractates that end with this teaching. What are the four? Brachot, Sechta Nazir, Yevamos and Krisus. It is striking that the word Bonayich forms an acronym of the initials of the four tractates. Bonayich means your builders. Bonayich is Rosh HaTevot, Brachot, Tractate Brachot, Tractate Nazir, Tractate Yevamot. What does Yevamot mean? Sister-in-law? The Levite marriage. And what does Krisus mean, David?
Cutting off.
36 sins with a person's Chayiv Karet. And the acronym happens to be Bonayich. Brachot, Nazir, Yevamot, and Kaf, Sechta Krisus. The Sechta Krisus. The tractate Loyalei will deal with 36 sins of a person's Chayiv Karet. So back in the Gemara now. Shalom Rav, it's the name of Yeshiva. Abundant peace to those who love your Torah, and there will be no obstacle for them. Look at note 33. Tzlach maintains. You see the Tzlach? That with this verse, go ahead.
The Gemara harks back to the injunction against learning without a study partner, for one of the major obstacles to acquiring Torah is lack of a proper understanding of Torah. This stems from the practice of learning on one's own, which, as the Gemara above teaches, makes one foolish. The source of this practice, however, is a lack of peace
between the scholars.
And makes them unable to study together?
Can't get along. The verse thus teaches
that with the abundant peace to those who love your Torah, there will be no obstacles for them. For the chief obstacle to Torah, the lack of understanding, will disappear in the face of scholars who
study together. Right? Now back in the Gemara now. Yishalom b'chelech shalom soyech. Let there be peace within your walls. It's ready within your palaces. Do you know that?
Oh, where is that? That's
Psalm 122. You want to look up exactly?
Okay,
you want to read footnote 34? Psalm 122. You want to read footnote 34? Psalm 122.
In this verse, as in the two that follow,
King David
rhetorically addresses himself to the city of Jerusalem.
Tzlach interprets.
Tzlach homiletically
interprets the word.
Interprets the word.
The chelech.
Of this verse as your multitudes rather than as your wall. The verse accordingly teaches that although the Gemara above stated that Torah scholars have no rest, since they move constantly from academy to academy and from
in the afterlife,
that is, they go from multitude to multitude, they nonetheless do not lack peace, for a Torah scholar is truly at peace only when completely immersed in the study of Torah. This is the message of the verse, which according to Tzlach's
interpretation
reads, let there be peace within your multitudes.
The multitudes of the Neshamas up there, right? Now we get to the song, Rabbi Yaakov, can you sing it with me? L'man achai v'rayai, How's it going again? L'man achai v'rayai adabrono. How does it go? No, Aram. L'man achai v'rayai l'man achai v'rayai adabrono adabrono shalom bach l'man beis Hashem Elokeinu Havakshotoy v'loch Hashem oz li'amo yitain Hashem yevorech esamoy b'shalom. So what's he saying? For the sake of my brothers and friends, I will pronounce peace upon you, Jerusalem. For the sake of the house of Hashem, our God, I will request good for you. Who's you? Jerusalem. Hashem will give might to his nation. Hashem will bless his nation with peace. That's how the tractate ends. Wow. We say this every morning, right before Aleinu, don't we? Some people say it after Aleinu. Mm-hmm. So we are a ped lech lecha.
What is go about
tuma tara? You know how an item can food can become tame only if it gets wet. Food, if a dead rat falls on food.
Yeah.
Does the food become tame, Rabbi Yaakov Goldman? Only if the food
needs a heksher.
Was first heksher lekabel tuma. It has to get wet by seven type of liquids. Either what? By what? Water, wine, oil, even blood.
Milk.
Only then, if a dead rat falls on it, does it become tame. Otherwise, it doesn't become tame. And only when it's detached. As long as it's attached to the ground, if a dead rat falls on the food, it cannot become tame. It has to be detached, cut from the ground, and only then got wet. And only then, if a dead rat falls on it, or a dead lizard, only then does it become what?
Tame.
So that's what we're learning now. It's now. Now we're going to need these laws, Joe. Now it doesn't matter. When Mashiach comes, if you eat food that was touched by a dead lizard and it got wet, David, you cannot go to the temple.
Wow.
So it's going to make a big difference, yeah? It can make a big difference.
If you've got fruit growing on the ground, like.
As long as it's attached to the ground, it can never get tame. Only when it's.
If an animal eats from it, like if an animal takes a bite out of a tomato that's growing.
No.
So you can still eat it.
You can still eat it, but you're worried about germs. But luckily, you can still eat it.
Yeah, but you can cut that part off.
Right, luckily, you can still eat it. Right? Only a dead thing can make tame. If a live lizard falls on food, not a problem. It has to be a dead lizard. And only when the food is wet, and only if the food is already what?
Cut
why,
off.
Why wet? Why is that?
Because the Torah says so.
No, but what?
We don't know. The Torah says so. It's a chukim. Huk shel kabel tuma, right? That's what we're doing now. Okay. And we help in the parasha, David. You heard of Hammurabi, David? You heard of Hammurabi?
Yeah, what's that?
You never heard of the code of Hammurabi?
No. The code of Hammurabi.
Yeah, David, they say that the scholars say that Amarophel in the Parsha, he's a Hammurabi. He was a contemporary of Abraham. Hammurabi.
How come he's so immoral?
Who, Hammurabi? They say he was. On page 35, he even made Amarophel, scholars say that he is a Hammurabi.
So, the code of. So in the class right now for the Rosh Hashiva Zerkua.
Water retention is usually with a heart.
Water retention?
You love things. Is he diabetic?
Boy, Shalane, whatever it is.
That one?
Heart and kidney.
The Siddur also belongs to Yosef.
Oh, the Siddur.
Oh, he's.
And this one.
Does anybody go to see him from here? You know?
I'm going to go tonight.
You're going to go tonight?
Yeah.
How are you going to go? By bus?
No,
by bus.
My caller
doesn't tell
me, so she'll pick me up.
Oh, you're engaged?
No.
What is a lucky day?
Rosh Hashanah's Kislev.
I'll keep us posted.
November 27th.
Wow, Dave.
Coming
up fast. Oh, wow. Great news. Keep us posted. Great news, David. Oh, wow. Baruch Hashem. Mazal tov.
Oh. Okay, where did
things are looking up.
Good news, okay.
Everything is looking up.
Things are looking up. Positive. David's getting married. Where, right here at Mount Zion?
Yeah.
Where, in King David's tomb?
The hoopah will be outside, but in Asaph's
cave.
King Shlomo's hall, as they call it now.
Wow.
Bring it on the day after.
Maybe Nachlo.
So when is the wedding? What day?
27th of November.
November, wow.
Well, I have my birthday on the 26th of November in the Goyish calendar. So.
Beautiful.
Well, combine both celebrations. Save money.
120.
Yeah.
You can. Well, what happens this year? What's going on?
Yeah, one thing, but you don't mix it up in another thing.
Of course.
Okay. Good.
Then hurry up with all minions. Rebbe's not that old, David, you know?
How old is he?
He's not 80 yet, is he?
Oh, Thursday.
Yesterday.
Thursday.
Thursday
was your birthday?
Happy birthday to Joe.
Happy birthday to Yosef. To Yev Yosef.
Happy birthday to Yosef.
Happy birthday to you. How old are you now?
How old are you now?
66. You look much younger, Yussel.
You look a day over 40.
That's right.
You got that spark?
You don't look a day over 65.
All right,
okay, not getting older, you're getting better.
Wiser.
Right? Like wine. Gets better with age, right, David? Wine gets better with age.
They call me a wise guy.
So let's learn. Yeah? Herz erkennen sich.
What's that mean?
Hearts know each other. Right, Yussel?
Right.
So here you have something very interesting.
Page.
There's so much in this parsha. So much in the parsha. Did Abraham do correctly when he told Sarah that she's his wife?
Oh, I got a question.
Sister, right?
Rabbi Sperr, can I ask a question?
Fire away, no?
You know that we learned the Rashi and all that, when Haran, Abraham got into that fire and he survived, right, with Nimrod, whatever.
And
Haran got burned up, yes.
His brother got burned up.
Yeah, why did Haran, which is Abraham's brother, why did he get burned up?
Why? Because he was a pagan. And he didn't, you're asking a very good question, but he was Meisen Nefesh himself. Because yeah, God only does, because Ein Samchen Al Anes. You're asking a great question.
And Haran, that was
Lot. Haran was his
father.
Right, Abraham's brother.
Abraham's
he
brother.
Saw that Abraham survived. He
survived the fire.
Right.
So,
he said, I'll
join the Abraham's God.
Right.
So why didn't God do the nation? That is a great question.
Yeah, what's the answer?
The answer is Ain Somchin al Anes.
Which means what?
You can't expect God to do miracles for you. You have to be an Abraham that God should do a nes for you. So even though you could be a righteous person, you have no right to rely on miracles. That's the message.
Dimitri.
It wasn't a punishment for Haran. If you jump into a fire, you get burned. You gotta be an Avraham Avinu, you gotta be Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. That Shem should do a miracle for you.
So
we have no right to expect miracles. Ain't somkin al anes.
So what about,
you're not permitted to rely on miracles. Mm-hmm. That's the message.
So what about people that believe that the third temple is going to fall out of the sky?
So again, that's a machlokas Rashi and Rambam. And remember, the Vilna Gaon and Chassam Sofer make a pshara. The Rambam
what's
says that
pshara interpretation.
No, I'm saying pshara, compromise. Uh-huh. Rambam says the third temple will be built by human hands. The third temple built by human hands. Rashi and Tosfot and Sukkah Nunbet say that the third temple will fall out of the sky. The Vilna Gaon and Sam Sofer say that both, when two scholars disagree, they're what?
Both right.
It's not quite a question.
How do you get them both right?
This world is a partnership. When we do our part, will he do his? Mm-hmm. We have to begin the project. Only then will he end it.
It's our job.
Right? It's our job. If Noah wouldn't have built the ark, he would have drowned. If the Maccabees would not have initiated the war against Greek, it would have been all over. God only does his part if and when we do ours. So you see, Rambam and Tosfot don't disagree. Who will build the third temple?
Together.
We have to get so happy together. We have to begin. Build it, David, and he will come. Remember that film?
Yeah.
Build it and he will come. Third temple.
Field of dreams.
You know what?
Third temple. That's a dream.
You know what?
We finish at one.
Shmuel said about Haran.
Yeah.
That.
It's a good question, Avram. You're asking. That's the
what
answer.
What he said is that.
Uh-huh. Wow, thanks for your answer.
That's a good question.
Haran, what happened was, is when he saw Avram stick by his God and he survived, uh-huh. He says, "That's the God. I'm going with him."
Okay.
So.
Very good.
So because of that, he came back again. As who?
Who did Haran come back as? Lot? I don't know.
Aaron?
Haran came back as
the
Aaron?
Same
really?
Letters.
Aaron.
Except for the Aleph.
Aleph. Ooh.
Why did he get to come back as Aaron?
He got an Aaron.
Because it was a Kiddush Hashem. He sacrificed. What happens when you get burned up?
Right. The sacrifice. Ooh,
because
I like that.
Because he did that and elevated him such a. He was a great man in his own right.
Well, Abraham's brother. Of course he was.
You
think Terach wasn't a great man? To have a son like Abraham, you're not a great man?
He was a great man. He had the same letters as Aaron. Which it says...
Without the Aleph, though.
Without the Aleph. And what does the Aleph stand for?
One.
Hashem.
No.
He came back as Aaron with the Aleph, Hashem. That's what he was lacking before. Before he was an idolater.
Now you're saying because he made himself a sacrifice to God, uh-huh. He became in charge of the sacrifices.
Uh-huh. Ooh. But if you see the letters, he
came back as Aaron, the Aleph.
But yeah. Who are you talking about? Terach?
Aaron. Haran.
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 Haran was a carbon to Hashem, wasn't he? So he got burned up.
Yeah.
So he became a Gilgal of Aaron HaKohen. Who's in charge of Karbanos? He was the carbon.
Because he sacrificed his life for.
He was the carbon.
And not only that, because he did that, he was such a great magician that everybody thought he saved Abraham with his ability to do all this black magic. But when he couldn't save himself, that was another thing, Kiddush Hashem, that showed that our.
The black magic, right. It wasn't black magic.
And it says.
Joel, black Shmuel, magic woman.
It says in Shmuel that Haran's letters of his name.
Yeah.
Are all the middle of the numbers. What are the letters of his name?
Yeah.
Not Thalath. You got a, what, a hay? It's the middle of the tens.
Yeah.
You got a. What is a mem?
Yeah.
It's the middle of the, a hundred?
Yeah.
And then you've got
But anyway, race, yeah. But,
which is the middle of that.
Right.
And he was like Aaron. He was the middle way of everything.
Uh-huh. Okay.
The middle.
Okay.
He took the middle path always.
Okay. Okay. Now, okay, which section should we do? David, which section should we do?
Section.
Which section?
Section 3, subparagraph 4.
Part of the first part. Part of the second part.
Which section should we do? Now, after his wife is kidnapped, he says something amazing. Right? His wife is taken by. Isn't she taken by Pharaoh?
Pharaoh.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the Pharaoh gets really sick.
Yeah.
Dysfunctional, let's say.
Yeah, he gets, Rashi said he gets VD where he cannot touch Sarah. He gets a VD so Sarah's honor is protected. Right? The Ramban says something amazing.
Wander anyway.
The Ramban. On page 33, after she's taken kidnapped, page 33, Pasuk Yud Zayin. Vayinag Hashem et Paro in the Goyim Gedolim. God plagues Pharaoh with great plagues as Beto Aldavar Sarai Eshes Avram. Says the Ramban, how many plagues did God send on him? 10. Oh. This is Maisa of a Simin Labonim. Hundreds of years earlier, Joel Siegel. God had already plagued Pharaoh with 10 plagues. And this is a symbol that hundreds of years later they're gonna suffer again the 10 plagues. Maisa Avot Simin Labonim. The deeds of the fathers are a sign of.
Well, they said everything that happened in
right.
Avram's life is what would happen.
What happened? That's right. That's right.
So you want to see what happens in his life?
Yeah, yeah.
You can see right now.
Now here, talk about current events in the Bible. The Parsha of the week always speaks about current events. Look at page 32, David. Pasuk Vav. You see that? Page 32, Pasuk Vav. Yava Avram Ba'oretz at Mekom Shechem. At Elon Moreh, Baknani Oz Ba'aretz. And the Canaanite was then in the land. What do you mean the Canaanite was then in the land? What does it got to do with anything? Isn't it called Eretz Canaan? Why is it called Eretz Canaan? Why is Israel called Eretz Canaan, Joe Siegel? Okay. The Canaanite was then in the land. Yeah, look at this Rashi over here.
Yeah.
Look at Rashi. Why did he go there? Look at Pasuk Vav. Vayavar Avram Ba'aretz. You have it left column, Rabbi Yaakov. Nichnas Latocha. He did Tiyulim in Eretz Israel, right?
Yeah.
God said, get up and walk the land, right?
Walk the land, yeah.
He did Tiyulim.
Mm-hmm.
Every step you take, Nacha Mitzvah. Remember a Bulman's Atzal, I told you? Nacha Mitzvah?
No.
Nacha Mitzvah. Ad Mokom Shechem. Why did he go to Shechem for? Nablus, dangerous place. Why did he go there? Look at the next Rashi. You have it?
Yeah.
Lit Palel al Bnei Yaakov, because you have the Shechem. Remember, the Bnei Yaakov went to Shechem to war to free their terrorists kidnapped the Dina. So Abraham went to Davin.
Mm-hmm.
Hundreds of years earlier, he went to Davin that the Bnei Yaakov should be successful in freeing their sister from captivity in Shechem. Elon Moreh. Where's Elon Moreh?
How could he possibly know that?
Because he's a Navi.
Yeah, but
he saw into the future, David, hundreds of years later. His great-great-grandchild.
Okay, I would say, you know, if a guy has like a little extra sensibility for like, you know, something that happens next month.
How could Isaiah know what's going to happen in the Messianic era?
How could
it's thousands of years later.
How could Yecheskel know? How could they know that?
Because they would have this. Because to a Navi, past, present, and future is all the same. So he davened for the Bnei Yaakov hundreds of years later. How many years later? Who's good in math? A few hundred years later. Now, why is it called Elon Moreh? What does Elon Moreh mean, David? David, Elon means a tree. What does Moreh mean? Moreh, can I go to the bathroom?
No.
The tree of teaching.
No.
Why is it called Elon Moreh, the tree of teaching? Mm-hmm. It's still there today. He Shechem. Shechem is called Elon Moreh. Hero Har Gerizim Bahar Ebal. God showed him Har Gerizim Bahar Ebal. Sheshav Kibli Yisrael Shvuas HaTorah. Did you know this? There was a new couple, David, there was a new couple of Satorah besides Sinai. 40 years later, the Yidden accepted the Torah again. Where? In Shechem, on Har Gerizim and Har Ebal, that the Yidden accepted again the Torah there. So Elon Moreh means the tree of teaching, because the Moreh, Torah, Moreh, same Shorish. That's where the Yidden accepted the teaching of the Torah again under the new Yeshua Ben Nun. When he took over, he made them swear on Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal, remember, pronounce the blessings and the curses. So that's why Abraham went there. Vaknadi Oz Ba'aretz. David, what does that mean? The Canaanite was then in the land. What does that mean? Look at this Rashi. Hoyaholech the Kovesh, current events. Avram, current events. Hoyaholech the Kovesh Etzisorim Zaray Shoshem. The Canaanim, they are the ones that conquered and occupied Eretz Yisrael from the children of Shem. We come from Shem, don't we? Yeah. So the Arabs, by the way. Shebechelko Shem Shem Nachlu. Because Eretz Yisrael belonged to the Shemites. Keshechilek Noach Esaretz Lavanov. When Noach divided the earth among his three sons, Joel Siegel, Pisgat Zev went to whom? Shem. Shenema Umalki Tzedek Melech Sholem. Malki Tzedek, the king of Jerusalem. Malki Tzedek is Shem ben Noach, right? Look at footnote Chet, Rabbi Yaakov. See footnote Chet? Malki Tzedek ze Shem ben Noach. David, you have it? Footnote Chet? Melech Sholem hu Melech Yerushalayim. Lefikach, therefore, back in Rashi, Vayoymel Avram, God said to Avram, Lezaracha etnis oretz hazois. You know why I'm giving you this land and your children? I'm only restoring what's rightfully yours. If you come from Shem, Abraham, the Canaanites stole it from you. So I'm going to return the land to you because you come from Shem. Mm-hmm. Abraham is a grandson of Shem. Mm-hmm. So I'm giving you back to you and your children because you are from the children of Shem. And Noah, when he divided the earth, he gave Eretz Israel to whom? To Shem.
Shem, yeah.
Why did the Canaanites let Abraham come then?
Why let him come? Good question. Why did they let him come?
He's a white guy here.
I guess, right? He's coming, yeah.
And they kicked him all out.
Right. But you see how they respected him. Take a look in Chaya Sarah, how they speak to him. They knew he was a great man. They said, you are a prince of God. It was an honor among them. Look what they say to him.
How did they know that?
Because he had a good reputation.
Yeah.
He had a good website. Well, look what they say to him in Chaya Sarah. The Canaanites say to him, you are a prince among us. These pagan lowlifes are speaking to Abraham on page 64, Abraham. They say, you are a prince of God among us. They knew he was a great man. It was an honor for him to live amongst them. Yeah.
He must have had a presence about him.
Well, a presence. Yeah. He had a presence about him, right? Yeah. Right. Okay. Italy Matonot. Yeah. So he had a... God plagued him so Sarah's virtue would be protected. Mm-hmm. Rashi said he had like VD. So Pharaoh couldn't touch her. You hear this, David?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The Egyptians were notorious for immorality. Mm-hmm. Simon, can you bring me that tomorrow in the Mishpacha, please? Please, I appreciate it.
You really gotta have it, huh?
Yeah, I gotta have it.
Before it burns out.
I
gotta have it, thank you.
It's gonna burn out.
Thank you. Okay, any questions, comments? We still have a few minutes. Malki Tzedek Melech Sholem in the Parsha.
You know what?
Now, Malki Tzedek, the Talmud makes an amazing observation here, Rabbi Yaakov Goldman, page 37. Look at page 37. Why was Shem not the founder of the Jewish people? Shem was a great man, Malki Tzedek Melech Sholem. Before you go, you got to hear this. Why is Abraham a patriarch and not Shem? That's a $64 question. Shem was a great man. He was a Navi. You got to look inside. Don't run. Still got 10 minutes. What do you mean mincha here?
Yeah,
they're making early mincha because the rabbi's not here. What do you want? Abraham, maybe what word of Torah? Can I get kula?
What time is mincha here?
Though? Mincha will be soon because the rabbi's not here. Tell you mincha will be soon.
Let's
get I to see this inside, please. Yedekasha, how come Shem was not a patriarch of Israel? He was a superstar. He was a Navi. Rashi said he was a Navi. And Malki Tzedek, my king, is righteous, the king of Jerusalem.
So then,
and the Torah calls him, he is a priest to the... Look at Pasuk Yud Ches on 37. You have it? Umalki Tzedek Melech Sholem Hoitzi Lechem V'yayin Hu Koyen Le'el Elyon. He is a priest to the Most High God. So how come we don't say Elokei Hashem? How come he's not a patriarch?
Yeah,
so the Gemara answers, because look at the next verse. V'cheil V'yoyim Borach Avram Le'el Elyon Kodesh Mayim V'oretz. Who does he bless first? And then he says, Baruch Kel Elyon. First he blesses Abraham.
Who's doing the blessing here?
Shem. Read the text. Blessed is Abraham to the Most High God.
Yeah.
And then he says, blessed is the Most High God. Get your priorities. Mm-hmm. First he should have blessed what?
Hashem.
And then Abraham. That's, he blew it. One mistake. If he would have said God before Abraham, you would have said Elokei Shem. Elokei Abraham, Elokei Yitzchak.
It wasn't his fault, he was dyslexic.
He misspoke. Mm-hmm. He put Abraham before God. Hey, you got to get your priorities straight. Look at the text here. One slip of the tongue, Joe. A great person makes a mistake, pay the consequence. Because he said Abraham, he mentioned Abraham blessing before he blessed Hashem, he blew it. Priority, you got to get your priorities straight. Message in life, right? First, it should have mentioned Kel Elyon, not mention Abram first. Okay? Why did he give him lechem v'yayin, David? Why not the diet Sprite and a pastrami sandwich? He brought out to Abram lechem v'yayin, bread and wine. Why not, I don't know, bereka?
Yeah.
So Rashi says that this was the custom in the ancient world. When warriors would come back from war, they would give them lechem v'yayin.
Really?
Rashi brings another expectation. Remember, he was a Navi? He was merames that your kids, Abraham, they're going to bring lechem v'yayin on the Beis HaMikdash. What came on the altar? Karbi mincha and yayin nesachim. The Korban Mincha was like made out of flour, like matzah, bread. So lechem v'yayin, he was telling Abraham that your kids are going to bring this on the Mizbeach. Vashtei, Abraham's descendants, the Kohanim, they're going to offer lechem v'yayin on the Mizbeach. Lechem is Korban Mincha, Rashi says. The Korban Mincha is made out of flour, right? That's lechem, like matzah. And the sachim, what does the sachim mean? Every carbon came with what? With what? Yayin. Don't you see? He was a Navi. I told you guys he was a Navi. So one slip of the tongue, Joe, cost him. He would have been one of the patriarchs. See him, man? Okay? Wasn't meant to be. What? Okay. Malki Tzedek.
How is it that when Shem came off the ark,
right,
that later on he opened up a yeshiva?
Shem Ve'ever.
Shem Ve'ever. So from a rabbi, he became a king.
Yeah, king rabbi.
But then why would he do that?
What do you mean? King David wasn't a king rabbi? King David? Shaul HaMelech wasn't a king rabbi?
Yeah, King David was the most poor man in his general.
The biggest scholar were the rabbis, the kings. Cheskiyo HaMelech, all the great kings of Yehuda were great rabbis. He wore two hats. He wore a shtreimel and a crown. Get it? Shtreimel and a crown. We have to daven to Rosh Hashiva. Rav Mordechai ben?
Mordechai ben what?
You know his mother's name? Roni. Mochan Roni. His brother sent a foolish lame of Mamash to Rav Mordechai ben Roni. And also Mochai Menziona, a foolish lame of Korah Mamash Hashem, send them Betoch Shafa Israel, Hashtag Golos Mankorim, and I'm a Ummain.